When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. I'm so glad that you're with us. Hope for the caregivers, what we're all about. And I love that song, John. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Oh, yeah.
So appropriate, because we have on the phone with us Dr. Gary Chapman. He's from North Carolina. He is the author, New York Times bestselling author, author of The Five Love Languages, which has been almost required reading for couples for years and years and years. So, Dr. Chapman, are you with us?
I am, Peter. Great to be with you today.
It is. What a treat. I am so thrilled that you took time on a Sunday afternoon to call our show and to share about this. I came across you in a foreword that you wrote for a devotional book for Alzheimer's and dementia caregivers.
Yes.
And I was reading that and saw where you took care of your mother and with dementia. And I thought, you know what? I bet this man has some very interesting thoughts now as he's entered that world of when he entered the world of being a caregiver after understanding the five love languages. And I thought we could have some interesting insights from you on this, because as I said in the last segment, there's so many people that are learning a different language than what they inherently have as caregivers. They're having to learn the service language probably more. And it's not their native tongue. And I thought, would you just take a moment to unpack that a little bit and in that environment and what it's like to have to grow in that relationship, particularly when for spouses? I mean, it's going to apply across the board in every relationship, but particularly with spouses.
Yeah. Well, I think you're exactly right, Peter. I think with spouses, you know, hopefully you have a good relationship. You know, you're experiencing life together and everything is going great, and I don't mean perfect, because life is never perfect. But then you know, dementia sets in for one of you, and the early stages, you know, you're kind of adapting to the idea that this is not too good here, something's going on, and then as it develops, of course, through various stages of dementia, then it gets even more difficult, and especially I think the most painful thing. It's when you get to the place where they don't know who you are. You know, that's really, really painful. I wrote a book with a medical doctor, Dr. Ed Shaw, whose wife came down with the disease at 53. And he says the most painful day was the day she said to me, "Now, I don't know who you are." He said, "I went in the bathroom and just wept. Because I knew, you know, this is another stage in the journey." And, of course, it gets to be, especially after that, it gets to be a one-way street where you as a caregiver are loving them, but as the disease moves on, they're not capable of reciprocating love to you. And I think that's where it gets to be really, really difficult. And one of the things that we talk about in that book is the caregivers need to feel loved. Because listen, whether we're married, single, or whatever, we all have the need to feel loved by significant people in our lives. And so that's where we encourage the caregiver, make sure that your extended family and friends at church know what makes you feel loved. What is your love language? Because they can meet that void. I mean, they can't take the place of a spouse, but you can know deep in your heart and you can feel loved by people if they're speaking your love language.
Well, this is where I think also pastors, and you're a pastor, and this is where your heart is, and I think pastors and churches, lay leaders, and so forth can really step up and communicate the gospel into these situations where people can understand. You have to learn to tap into the inexhaustible love of God in order to be able to give love freely to folks who cannot necessarily reciprocate. But that's what God does for us.
And exactly. We use the Old Testament word hesed, the Hebrew word hesed, which is often translated in English, loving kindness. But it's God's love. It's just what you're talking about. It's unconditional love. It's loving not because you're receiving. It's loving because, you know, the scriptures say the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we become God's representatives of reaching out and loving. And I think if we can understand, if a caregiver can understand that I have a significant role to play here, and emotional love is a part of it. You know, one of the things we discovered when we wrote this book called Keeping Love Alive as Memories Fade, the five love languages and the Alzheimer's, the five love, yeah, and the Alzheimer's disease, is that long after the cognitive abilities are gone in the dementia patient, they can still feel loved. The emotional center of the brain is still alive, and they can still feel loved, and they can also feel hurt. You know, you yell at them because they ask you the same question 20 times, and you say, don't ask me that again. They feel that, and sometimes caregivers don't know that because the spouse and the patient is not responding cognitively. They think they don't, and sometimes they say to me, well, they're in a home. Why should I go see them? They don't even know who I am. Well, they may not know who you are, but they can feel loved by you. And it's not that they keep the same love language. I'm often asked that. They don't keep the same love language through the process. But the five love languages gives you five ways to dip in and try to hit their emotional center. And when you do, you'll get a response. When you do, you'll know it. And they live in the moment, of course, in the middle and latter stages. They live in the moment. And that's what we want to do, is touch them in the moment and let them feel that we love them.
What has surprised you when you journeyed into the role of caregiver and watching your mother slip away? And what surprised you? Because here you are, you're this best-selling author, pastor, this is your world, and all of a sudden now this has come really personal now, as you're trying to build and maintain a relationship with someone who is increasingly becoming infirmed. Talk a little bit about that journey, if you can.
Well, you know, my father died first. He died at 85, and my sister and her husband built a house right beside of them for my mother. The idea is they were going to take care of Mom as she got older. Well, it turns out my sister gets cancer at 50 and has an 8-year battle with cancer. So my mother ends up taking care of my sister till she dies. Well, I'm the only child left. There was just two of us. So now Mom's my responsibility. And I live an hour away from her. But she was at home, and she was beside my brother-in-law. Later, he remarried, and his wife was very wonderful to my mother. So I had to rely a lot on caregivers. Pretty early on, I realized Mom's at the place where she can't cook. We didn't, you know, she couldn't coordinate cooking a meal. And I remember when we unplugged the stove, you know, and just said, no more cooking, Mom. So I relied on caregivers, really around the clock, for about 7 years.
Well, I got to tell you, in the early days, not with my mother now, she's really a good cook now. She may be listening to this in the hospital, but there were times when my brothers and I wanted to unplug this stove.
But, yeah, watch it. But mom's still.
It's not that she wasn't a good cook. It's that she just went different with it sometimes.
I hear you.
So yeah. There's been many times. But I went home one time, and she was cooking these fabulous gourmet meals. This is much later after. Well, I have four brothers and a sister, so Mom cooked like Army Chow. And so I went home sometime, and I looked at my parents, and they had this beautiful meal. I said, who are you, and what have you done with my parents? But, you know, and I get that, because you have to stop doing certain things. I've watched this. And for me, and as I was dealing with this with my father last week, as he was caring for my mother in the hospital, she's facing this surgery this week. And my father has loved me with just lavish love. I don't remember any day when my father has not poured out love like that. But for the briefest moment, I could never reciprocate what he had done for me. But for the briefest moment last week, I was able to give back to him a measure of the kind of love that he's given me. And we just talked together as two men who loved our wives who both were hurting. And I thought, that's a picture of the body of Christ. And, you know, Christ loves his wounded bride, and that's us. We are the wounded bride of Christ. And as somebody who's cared for a wounded bride for a lifetime like I have, I'm starting to see mirrors of that. And how does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember when my mother said to me one day, when she was still had a lot of cognitive abilities, because I had these sitters I was paying for, and she said, you're going to run out of money. You can't keep paying these sitters like this for me. And I said, well, Mom, I don't know. Maybe I will run out of money. But look at it this way, Mom. I said, you paid everything for me for 18 years till I went off to college. And I said, I've only been doing this 5 years. I said, I got a lot more years to go.
I love that.
How do you calculate interest on that? That's what I want to know.
Trust it. Well, you have. And folks now are engaging in relationships that they are really not prepared for. And that's one of the reasons I do this show, is to help people understand what's going on in these dynamics. And this is, as spouses, we're living longer, but our minds aren't necessarily living as long. And so we're having to engage with people that we've known a lifetime in a much different way. And so this is why I felt like you coming on today and just reintroducing this concept that there's more than one way to demonstrate and receive love. And then I wanted to also let you hit on, in the little bit of time we have here, of learning this second language of love, because the service component of the five love languages is not necessarily a native language to some people.
Well, you're right, and I think even a lot of the other languages are not native languages that we have to learn. But what's really, really been encouraging to me with Dr. Shaw, working with him, because he resigned his job as the head of the oncology department at the hospital, okay? Went back to to college and got a master's in counseling and came back and set up a memory counseling clinic to work especially with caregivers and dementia patients, and it's mainly spouses who are working with them.
By the way, tell us that book again, because I got people posting online that are watching it live, and they want to know what the name of that book is again.
Yeah, it's called Keeping Love Alive as Memories Fade, and the subtitle is The Five Love Languages and the Alzheimer's Journey. It's published by Moody Publishers. It's a Northfield imprint, but it's Moody Publishers out of Chicago. They can find it anywhere online. But one of the things he does is, when one of them is diagnosed with the disease, any form of dementia, he helps them learn each other's love language while they still have cognitive abilities. And often they get closer together emotionally than they've been for several years, which is a good way to begin this journey, you know, being really emotionally connected. And, of course, you know, the simple concept of the love languages is that what makes me feel loved doesn't necessarily make my spouse feel loved. So I have to learn their love language, what makes them feel loved. And when I speak it, their love tank fills up, they feel loved, and it's much easier to process the journey when they feel loved. And so, you know, that's what's helpful for caregivers of anyone. It doesn't have to be dementia patients. If you're a caregiver and your spouse has a good mind, you know, okay, then let's make sure that you know their love language and they know your love language, so that you can speak each other's language while you walk through the journey.
That is wonderful. Well, listen, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. But before we do, I got to take care of one little piece of business. Then I got a special gift for you at the next segment, if you could hang on a little bit, okay?
Sure. Be glad to.
All right, because I'm gonna tell you all really quickly. I need legs. I need legs. Okay. I need lots of legs. We have a prosthetic limb ministry, and we collect used prosthetic limbs.
He really means actual legs.
I've got some in the car right now. My wife is a double amputee, and when she gave up her legs, she wanted to reach to her fellow amputees in West Africa. We've been doing this for a long time, and we collect used limbs from all over the country. They go to a local prison here run by CoreCivic, where inmates volunteer to disassemble these things for us, and they strip them down to we can use all the parts, the recyclable parts, feet, pylons, knees, all of this. And we send all this over to West Africa, and then we will purchase new stuff, and they'll build a custom-fit leg on site there in Africa for amputees. You know, you give a man a leg and he's going to walk. You teach and equip a man to make legs, and hundreds will walk. But if you do this to share the gospel with all of this, you're going to equip them to stand with hope. And that's the name of the company that Gracie and I started, the ministry we started. It's called standingwithhope.com. And I would really appreciate you going out there, because I call it Operation Footloose, Dr. Chapman. Turn that foot loose so we can recycle it. And
that's great.
But we're the only ones in the country that do this with inmates who will recycle these prosthetic limbs with us. And it's a great program, and I go over to the prison quite a bit. And one of the most touching things I had is one of the inmates whose wife, he was a caregiver for his wife, who was an amputee. And she ended up passing away. And in the process, as she went through this long illness, he turned to drinking and so forth, and he made a lot of destructive choices, ended up in prison. But when he heard about our program, he got involved with it and started helping us with recycling limbs over there. And it was just one of those beautiful redemption stories. And Standing with Hope is the presenting sponsor of this show, and I wanted folks just to be able to go. If you know somebody with a prosthetic limb and they're not using it, it's just sitting around in a closet somewhere because somebody passed away or whatever, please don't throw it away. Send it to standingwithhope.com. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back, and I got a gift for you, Dr. Chapman, okay?
All right.
Don't go away. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver, and I'm on the phone here with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, and wait till you hear what's going to happen in the next segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I have. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies. And with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
It would be to show me how you feel. More than words is all you have to do to make it real.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And we are thrilled that you're with us. I have been talking with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages. But now, sadly, in the break, we dropped the call. Somehow he dropped the call here. So we've had a substitute calling in. He's going to call back in a second, but I got to substitute the call in. This is singer-songwriter, award-winning singer-songwriter Gary Chapman on the phone. So, Gary, you're going to have to stall with us until he calls back.
No.
We don't know what happened.
I'm a doctor, absolutely. People should call in with whatever problem they have.
Well,
consult on any issue.
When I told you that he was going to be on the show, that I said, have you ever met him? You said, no, but I've signed a lot of his books.
It's true. I have to apologize to him. I have posed as him many times.
Well, I don't know what's happened here because we dropped a call, but hopefully he'll call back in a second. But so you're going to have to sub in and talk about the five love languages, Gary.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm fluent.
which one is your love language?
Well, I actually write them more than I speak them. So you know, it's a weird condition. No, I think I'm probably driven more by the, let me see here, I've got them in front of me, and I just want to make sure I pick the right one, because I try to speak them all.
Well, we got
words of affirmation.
The ones are, you got words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch.
Yeah, like I said, I speak all those.
Well, I don't. And I'm barely fluent in the ones I do speak, but I think I do have him back on the phone here. So let me introduce you to him. John, is he with us?
It dropped right away.
Something's up. Well, we're having technical difficulties, but
I think he's probably found out what you're up to.
Well,
he's been avoiding me his whole life. Bad things might happen. This might not be supposed to happen.
This was a close one. He almost got confronted with it. Well, listen, by the way, you owe our listeners something. You need to come back on here and tell the story that you told about your father and as you took care of him and as he stepped into glory. And we won't be able to do it today, and I don't want to disrespect the story because it is. We were all in tears when you were telling it at this event I saw you at in Franklin.
I'll be happy to.
You've got to, because that's a story that needs to be told. Because your journey and how it's affected you in caring for your father through this process of him becoming sick and then stepping into glory and what that did to you. And in the last minute that I have, just as a writer, because you are a prolific writer, songwriter, what did that do to you?
That moment with him?
No, just the whole journey of caring for him through that process as a writer.
As a writer, I can tell you I can't put the words together in that short a time, but I'll do the best I can. For me, that has become literally the fulcrum point of my life.
That is...
It's just a very, very pivotal thing. I learned so much about myself that I didn't expect, and more than anything, I learned so much about God that I thought I already knew.
We got Dr. Chapman back on, and I got 45 more seconds. So, Dr. Chapman?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry we lost you, but I have Gary Chapman, singer-songwriter Gary Chapman, on the phone, and he's never met you, but he signed a lot of your books, and so he wanted to meet you. So, Gary Chapman, I want you to meet Gary Chapman.
Hello, Gary.
How are you doing?
Oh, that's great. Keep on signing them, Gary.
And I think I may have returned a few emails. So
you can handle the emails. Just answer for me. Those problems people have. Okay.
Well, and I'm
so. Sit down someday. I think we would actually have a lot of laughter.
We probably would.
Should write the five languages of songwriting. That's the one thing you haven't done yet.
Well,
I'm gonna leave that up to you.
Well, all I can say is we made history on this show because you two are just meeting for the first time, and I cannot think of anything more delightful, both of you. And Gary Chapman and Gary Chapman. Gary, you owe me to come in here, and you owe our listeners that because they really need to hear from your heart on this. And Dr. Chapman, I want you to know how much I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, you are welcome, Peter. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work, okay?
All right. And Gary, I look forward to seeing you anytime, man. Thank you.
All right, brother. Good to meet you, Doc.
All right. Hey, listen, this is Hope for the Caregiver, and we're so glad you're with us. There's more at hopeforthecaregiver.com. We'll see you next week.